Well, wouldn't it be, wouldn't life as a Christian be so much easier? Wouldn't it be easier to trust and follow Jesus if his message was just that little bit easier to digest? The Gospel of Mark tells us very early on, hopefully it'll be up on the screen, that Jesus taught a message. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Well, it tells us that he preaches a message of repentance and belief. But that is tough to hear, isn't it? It is tough because the gospel is a big ask. It is a message that tells us that we have turned away from God, we've walked away from him in rebellion, and Jesus is calling people back to himself. That's not easy for anyone to hear. No one wants to hear that they're a rebellious, snotty sinner who needs to turn and trust in Jesus alone, as I like to remind my children every evening. Couldn't we just have a slightly more acceptable, more 21st century message nowadays? Couldn't we have the John Lennon Jesus? All you need is love. That's all I care about, really. Not truth or anything like that. It's all about peace and love and peace and spirituality. Or maybe a slightly easier message from Coach Jesus. I created you to succeed. You're going to win so much in life. You should change your name to Winnie Winnerton. Success is in your future. Believe it. Achieve it. I've got your back, champ. Or my personal favourite, preschool teacher Jesus, who sadly exists. You're doing a great job. You can do it. I believe in you. You're beautiful. You're strong. You're perfect. You're my special little flowers. They would be a lot easier to hear, wouldn't they? As they gently stroke our egos and tell us that we're okay. But the truth is that we need the real Jesus. And we need his real message. Last week, Mark showed us the correct and positive response to the real Jesus was to trust him. End of Mark chapter 5, we had the long-suffering woman who trusted in Jesus. And we had Jairus, the religious leader, who trusted Jesus. But this week, we see the other response to Jesus. We see the other side of the coin. It's a much more negative response because it is rejection and unbelief. As Jesus, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus the Lord and his teaching is rejected. Verse 1 of chapter 6, Jesus has returned to his hillside hometown. He's come to the town of Nazareth and he's joined by his disciples. And after all the amazing miracles that he's been doing, surely you'd expect Jesus to arrive to some sort of great fanfare and triumph in his hometown. Here is the local lad who's gone out into the world and made a name for himself. And yet, verse 2, as it reaches the Sabbath day, Jesus begins to teach in the synagogue. And Jesus has been surprising people left, right, and center throughout Mark. People marveling at what he is saying. People marveling at his mighty deeds. The crowds gobsmacked by his healings. And Mark is showing us that part of the package of following Jesus is simply amazement. It's amazement that comes up in verse 2, again in Mark, in the synagogue. That quiet Sabbath morning in a particularly unremarkable synagogue in the hills of Israel. There the local gathered people are met with mind-blowing teaching by one who has authority and powerful wisdom. And it leaves them questioning, where is it that Jesus got his wisdom from? Verse 2, they say, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? This is the question that was set up at the end of chapter 4 a few weeks ago, as Jesus stopped the wind and the waves with his powerful words. The disciples asked, who is this man? Well, the synagogue crowd think that they know. Of course they know. They've known him for years. Verse 3. This is Carpenter Jesus. And here the people use his upbringing and his job in a negative way. He's not God. He can't be God. He's the local joiner. Not only his job trade, but he's the son of Mary. He's the brother of James. He's the brother of Joseph. He's the brother of Judas and Simon. Clearly looks like Mary didn't like the name Jonathan when they stopped using J's for their son's name. And we also got his sisters here in the synagogue with them. They're right here. How can this be God's son? See, the town think that they know Jesus. To them, he's the local lad. He's normal, like the rest of them. Although not quite, because he's been doing miracles, but they've not really thought about that. And as we heard from Isaiah 53 earlier in our service, verse 2 said he had no beauty or majesty that would attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. A normal job, a normal family, normal Jesus. And so the Nazarenes, they take great offense at him and at his teaching. You can almost hear the conversations after the service. Who does that Jesus think he is? He used to play outside my house. I know, right? He charged me 10 denarii the other day to fix my kitchen worktop. And now he's telling us here, that we need to repent and believe. Well, their prejudice has blinded them to see his true identity. And therefore, they will not listen to the message. Because Mark would tell us that the wind and the waves obey Jesus. Demons bow down and listen to him. Suffering and death ended because of him. Mark tells us that Jesus is not just Mary's son. In fact, Mark goes out of his way to say that surely this man was the Son of God. And so verse 4, Jesus responds to them. So how will he respond? Well, he could show them his credentials, couldn't he? A bit like Clark Kent in Superman, he could show and reveal himself to Lois Lane, his lover, so that she could understand that he really is Superman. Surely Jesus could reveal sneakily his true identity to his hometown. Surely they could grasp this. Don't just wait till the resurrection. Do something impressive now, Jesus. But actually, that wouldn't be the true Jesus. Mark is telling us that Jesus is the Christ. He has all the authority. But he's the king who comes to suffer and to serve. And people need to come to that realization for themselves. Last week, we looked at how privileged Jewish leader Jairus, well, he needed to trust in Jesus as his Christ. Well, it's privilege that comes up again here in this passage. Because surely the family, surely the hometown are the most privileged people here in this reading. They've spent the last 20-something years with Jesus. They've grown up around him. They've known him. If anyone in the world was going to respond correctly to the Son of God, well, surely it would be the friends and the family of Jesus. And yet that's not what happens here, is it? Mark shows us the different reaction. His own family, we're told in Mark chapter 3, they think he's gone bonkers. They try to take him away from the crowds. They say he's out of his mind. And here in chapter 6, verse 3, Here is the town carpenter. He's telling us what to do. And so Jesus' response, verse 4. A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. It's this idea from the Old Testament that a prophet, a Bible teacher, was never honored in his own hometown or by his own family. And here in verse 4, Jesus explains that their rejection, the town's rejection, is showing us today that even if we'd been there 2,000 years ago, well, faith in him wouldn't be any easier. And so Jesus, well, he pretty much stops the works that he has been doing. Verse 5, Mark tells us he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Gotta love an understatement. But he doesn't stop, because he's not been overcome, he's not been bound. It's not that his power has been defeated because of their unbelief. Verse 5, the beginning, is supported by the second half, verse 5. So he can still do the mighty works. Mark is very clear about that. Jesus is still lovingly helping those in need. But for the most part, here in verse 5, Jesus is choosing not to. He's not going to use his power to bully the town into believing in him. See, Jesus is the authoritative king, but he's not going to use that power to override anyone's wishes. Jesus always uses his power and authority for good. The signs are there to help the message, but the town, they refuse to repent and to believe. And this leaves Jesus almost in shock, verse 6. He's left in amazement. It literally means the word dismay. Their lack of faith causes Christ distress. Well, so what will Jesus do with this rejection as he moves on to other towns and other villages? End of verse 6. Well, maybe he just needs to change his tactics a little bit. And maybe he just needs to think through, maybe dumbing down the Son of God message, maybe changing through the message of repent and believe. I mean, that's surely what the Church of England would like to do. You don't need to repent. Jesus didn't quite mean that, did he? Oh, he loves you just as you are, you precious little flower. Well, sadly, as I said at the beginning, John Lennon Jesus, Coach Jesus, and Preschool Jesus, well, they exist. People believe in them, but they are not the real Jesus. Not the Jesus that Mark proclaims in. And so, verse 6, the real Jesus heads out into the other towns. He's still the same man, he's still the Son of God, and he's still got the same message to proclaim. It's a message that he passes on to his disciples. Have a look just down at the next chunk that follows, chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus is sending the disciples out to the local towns, and he says to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and they proclaimed that people should repent. Likewise, it's the same message that Peter proclaims and preaches about Jesus in Acts chapter 2 in his first sermon. His big idea for the talk is all about the identity of Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And when asked, what are we to do with this information? Well, Peter says to the crowd, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." See, Jesus and his repent and believe message, it does not change. And Mark chapter 6 is showing us this evening that we should expect rejection because of who he is and what he said. As faithful hero Dick Lucas, not Dick Farr, but Dick Lucas, as he said a couple of years ago, Jesus and his message will always meet misunderstanding, disinterest, and rejection. Christianity welcomed and approved by everybody will be, by definition, be inauthentic. Jesus was rejected for his identity and his message by his own family, by his own hometown. Peter and the disciples, they too were rejected. Jesus teaches them that in chapter 6, that they would be rejected for what they say. And so Mark chapter 6 is almost a chilling reminder that Christ and his followers are unwelcome. Jesus is the Lord, and his teaching will be rejected. And yet we're not to be discouraged by this small passage in Mark chapter 6, because rejection is a part of the package. Unbelief has been a part of humanity's DNA since Adam and Eve. And so Jesus, he kept proclaiming the gospel, repent and believe. The disciples kept proclaiming the gospel, repent and believe. And so with God's help, so will we keep proclaiming, repent and believe. We, as a church, keep telling people about the true identity of Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And we keep telling people the true message of the gospel, no matter how awkward it makes us feel, repent and believe. And so as we look and as we pray for a church leader to replace Giles, why not give thanks to God for the many years that the true gospel, the true identity of Jesus and his message has been preached here at St. John's? Thank God that he's given us the true message. And pray that the next man to come in would do so and continue to do so for many years. Even when that response will more often than not be rejection. And in our own ministries, in our day-to-day lives, we'll keep praying for those who are yet to repent and believe. Jesus' hometown and family, they may have rejected him and his message in chapter 6. These privileged people who we kind of think, well, they should know better. Well, wonderfully, we know that the family did repent and believe in the end. Mary is there at the end of Mark's gospel, by the empty tomb. His brother James is likely to be the writer of the Bible book, the book of James. Just because people respond in rejection doesn't mean that's where they finish off. It doesn't mean they lose out on the opportunity to repent and believe at a later date. How many people over the years do you know who have been had the privilege of coming to a St. John's event or a church sermon? They've heard the good news of the gospel about Jesus and yet not responded in faith yet. Rejection now doesn't mean that someone is completely past being saved. And it definitely doesn't mean that the message doesn't work. So let us keep praying. Keep praying for your relatives. Keep praying for your friends, your neighbours. Keep praying for your colleagues. Keep praying for people in church. Keep praying for those who you're inviting to church services and events. Keep going. Keep with that message. Pray that they would come to know the true identity of Jesus and they would respond correctly to the message. And pray for yourself. and your brothers and sisters around you. Pray that we'd be protected from unbelief and that we'd be protected from rejection of the message. We believe in the identity of Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the one who has authority and power, wisdom from above, and is full of goodness. And we proclaim his message, repentance for the forgiveness of sins, even in the face of rejection.